The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 12:15. Hi, I'm Rob West. We all need outside advice from time to time, especially when it comes to managing money. Did you know that even financial advisors have financial advisors? So how do you know if you need one? I'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, to be clear, while we all may need financial advice from time to time, not everyone needs to hire a financial professional. But more folks do than you'd think. So how do you know if you're one of them? Well, the first thing you have to do is look at your overall financial situation and take several things into account. First is your net worth. This isn't how much you make, but how much you have in all your financial accounts and real property, minus what you owe, like credit card debt, auto loans, and your mortgage. What's left over is your net worth, and ideally, you want that to be in positive territory. Next, look at monthly cash flow. How much do you have coming in and going out? If you're living on a budget, this is easy to do. You already have those numbers. If you're not living on a budget, download the FaithFi app and use it to set up your budget today. You can access it at faithfi.com. Next, decide on your financial goals. Some will be short-term, others long. Are you saving for a new car, to buy a house, or retire at age, well, you fill in the blank. Put your goals down on paper and consider whether you're on track to achieve them. Finally, decide how much of a risk you're willing to take with your investments. Much of that is based on how long you have until you think you'll need this money. If it's more than 10 years, you can afford to put most of it in stocks, mutual funds, and index funds if you're willing to take the risk. But the longer your investment horizon, the safer it is to invest in the market. Okay, so now you have an idea of your net worth, your cash flow, your goals, and your risk tolerance. But you still don't know if you need to hire a financial advisor. So here are some reasons you might want to do that. You're experiencing some big changes in your life. Maybe you're just tying the knot and now you have to marry your finances together as well. Or you're a little further along and expecting a baby soon. Or you realize that retirement is closer than you think. Any of those major changes might call for bringing in an expert to go over your finances to make sure you're on track. Or maybe you know you're not on track. You've established your goals and you realize you're not getting any closer to achieving them. Taking on a financial advisor could make all the difference, holding you accountable and getting you back on track. Of course, one of the most common reasons to retain a financial advisor is if you have doubts about how to invest your money. How much risk can you afford to take on? Which risks are worth taking and which are not? Now, I happen to think that hiring a financial advisor will pay for itself in most cases, whether it's for taxes, estate planning, or whatever. But nowhere is that more likely than with your investments. It's a simple idea, really. By having a professional manage your portfolio, you'll earn more, usually a lot more, than what you're paying that advisor in fees. If that weren't the case, no one would hire a financial advisor. Okay, let's say you receive a major windfall. This could be a lump sum from a pension buyout, an insurance benefit, or an inheritance. It's a lot more money than you're used to dealing with, and you don't want to make any mistakes. You might want to connect with a financial advisor on the best way to deploy that money. For example, pay off the mortgage or invest it. That's just one question you might want help answering. Now, there's one more situation where you might want to hire a financial advisor, and it's when you need someone to hold you accountable. Or as our friend Howard Dayton likes to say, someone to hold your fuzzy feet to the fire. When you know you have to report to someone, even someone who works for you, you're much more likely to stick with your financial plan. So those are some ways you can tell if you need a financial advisor, and we hope you find them helpful. This is also a great time for me to remind you that we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. These are men and women who have met high standards in character and competence and experience, and they've been trained to bring advice from a biblical biblical worldview. They've also received a pastor and client reference and signed a statement of faith. It's a high bar. You can find a certified Kingdom Advisor in your area when you head to our website, faithfi.com. Just click Find a CKA. Again, that's faithfi.com. Click Find a CKA. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Words have special power. Do you remember when you were little and a loved one told you to jump in the deep end of a pool? They may have said, "Jump in, I'll catch you, trust me." That gave you the confidence that if you jumped, you would be safe. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John is in a tough spot. He's imprisoned on an island. Most of his fellow apostles have long died. But at a time of great need, the Lord Jesus visited him. And Christ told him, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And with those words, Jesus told his beloved disciple, "I'll catch you. Trust me. I'm in control of all things." Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit GetAnchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Hi, I'm Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Do you want to be prepared for ministry at an institution that you can trust? Wesley Biblical Seminary has been training trusted leaders for faithful churches for almost 50 years. In a nation where many denominations and theological institutions are caving to cultural pressure, Wesley Biblical Seminary is standing strong on God's truth. Earn your bachelor's or master's degree to equip you for faithful and fruitful ministry. Learn more at wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's dive in Mississippi. Randy will be our first caller. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My mother had a living estate, and that was about 15 years ago. And she recently passed away in December. And I was just checking to see what kind of taxes that I would owe, if any, on inheritance or what the deal was on that, please.
Yes. Well, there are no inheritance taxes that you would pay. There are estate taxes, although those don't kick in currently until you get north of $12 million on the estate. So essentially what should happen is when the parent dies, in the case of a life estate, the property would receive a step up in basis to the date of death. So then if it's then inherited by you and you turn around and sell it, you receive that step up in cost basis. So you're not reporting the cost basis of the original purchase price, but the market value as of the date of death. And then at that point, you could choose to keep the property. And if it appreciates from this point, you'd, of course, be responsible for either a long-term or short-term capital gain upon the sale down the road. But if you turned around and sold it right now, you really wouldn't have anything in the way of taxes.
Okay. It has some marketable timber on it. Would that be the same as the property? I'm planning on keeping the house and the property for a while, but I wanted to cut the timber.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so, under 100,000. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. The entire property would receive the step up in basis. I think though, given just, you know, anytime you have a significant event like this or a change in your status, I would always, if you haven't used a CPA in the past, this is a good year for you to do that, just to make sure everything's being reported properly and you understand the implications of not only the sale, but now the ongoing revenues that you'd receive by selling off the timber, just so you can properly not only report that, but you could make, you know, quarterly tax payments along the way, things like that, if you're going to have a change in your status with regard to income that would be taxable. So do you have a CPA, Randy, that you work with?
Oh, yes, sir, I do.
Okay. So this would be a great conversation to have, just so you make sure that everything is properly accounted for as you go forward. But essentially, the big idea here is that the entire property, you know, enjoys that step up in basis when you inherit it. And then ongoing activities, whether it's the sale of a portion of the property or the whole thing, or, you know, revenue generated from the sale of the timber, all of that would be taxable events.
Okay. Thank you very much. This first time caller, but I'm a faithful listener, and I appreciate your show.
Well, thank you, Randy. I appreciate your kind remarks, my friend. Thanks for being on the program today. God bless you. 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open today. We'd love to hear from you with whatever you're thinking about financially. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Oklahoma. Hi, Kathy. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. I just wanted to check in. My husband's 64. He recently retired. He was with a pipe fitter in the union, and we live in rural Oklahoma. So he was driving like an hour and a half each way, costing us more than $1,000 plus wear and tear on our car. And we have a few family members, including me, that have a lot of medical issues. So we chose for him to go ahead and retire. He's drawing a pension, and we went ahead, even though I know we probably should have waited for a Social Security, but we had to go ahead and do it. But he has an annuity through the union, and they did tell us we could roll that over. I'm not sure. I have a retirement with Fidelity. Now, can we roll that annuity over to Fidelity, or what is your advice on that? I think it's through Empowerment. It used to be Mass Mutual, and I know that annuities are not that great. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But I think it's just something that the union provided, you know, over the years that he's worked for them. And he has probably close to $100,000 in it. We don't plan to touch it. We have no debt other than our house. And we only owe about $40,000 on it. And it's at 3.75% interest. So I think we should just keep making payments and not try to draw anything out to pay that off at this time.
Yeah, very good. Yes, you absolutely can roll that retirement annuity over to an IRA. That would not be a taxable event, Kathy, because you're keeping it in that tax-deferred environment. The custodian that you would select, I think, has a lot to do with, number one, existing relationships that you have. You mentioned Fidelity. But let me ask, do you have an advisor that you work with through Fidelity, or do you just have a straight brokerage account and you're managing those assets yourself?
On mine, I do not have an advisor, and I just have mine in Timothy funds. I have about half of it in Timothy funds and about half of it in a money market.
Okay.
And it's not that much. I probably had that. We've only been married 8 years. I had that before we got married.
I see.
And so, yeah. And he doesn't have, all he has is his annuity. And So we do not have a financial advisor.
Okay. Well, this might be the time to get one, because if you have a retirement plan at Fidelity, you have a limited number of investment options. I love that you're using the Timothy plan. I think that's great as a faith-based investing option. So at this point, what you would want to do is, if you wanted to go with Fidelity and perhaps mirror that investment strategy, you would just open that IRA at Fidelity, and then you would contact your plan administrator or the issuer of the annuity in this case and request a rollover. They'll provide the paperwork for you to do that. And you would put the name of the institution and the account number of the IRA, and then they would just send the roll over the assets into that Fidelity IRA. It would come in the form of cash, and then at that point you could begin investing it by selecting the mutual funds you want or something like that. I do think this is enough in the way of investable assets that you might want to consider having an investment advisor manage it. And if you wanted to go that route, I would probably wait on opening the account, because he or she will likely have a preferred custodian that they want to use. Could be Fidelity, could be Schwab, could be something else. And then you would open that IRA through them. They would initiate that rollover on your behalf, doing all the paperwork, and then he or she could begin managing the money at that point. So I think the key is just to decide, do you want to just move it into Fidelity and take it yourself, or do you want to hire an advisor? Which do you think would be the best fit for you and your husband?
Hire an advisor.
Okay. Yeah. So I think the next step.
Visually impaired. I'm visually impaired. And he's, we're not real sharp on all these investments. So I think that's probably the best route to go.
Yeah. So if you've listened to this program, we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, CKA. It's the only accepted industry designation by all the major firms that is for financial professionals who've met high standards and not only character and competence and experience and regulatory reviews and pastor and client references, but also they've been trained to bring a biblical worldview of financial decision making. And many of them, not all, but many of them will offer faith-based investing options. So you'll want to ask that question as a part of the interview process. We're actually enhancing our CKA search here in the next coming months, so you can specifically only select those CKAs if you want that offer faith-based investments. But basically, just head to our website, Kathy, faithfi.com, faithfi.com, and click Find a CKA. That'll give you the information that you need. I'd interview two or three and find the one that's the best fit. I'd do that first, and then they can handle the rollover for you. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Hi, this is Miki Addison. Join me, my husband Will, and our kids for AFA at the Ark. We'll also be joined by Wesley and Walker Wildman and their families as we host a mini conference at the Ark Encounter October 26th and 27th. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel, which will be available at a discounted price. Space is limited. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net. And I hope to see you at the Ark.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference. Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word. And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
I'm so grateful to have you with us today on a Wednesday morning as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices as you live, give, owe, and grow. That's right. God's Word speaks to all four things you can do with money. And by the way, there are only four. You can boil every financial decision down into that which you live on, that which you give, that which you owe for debt and taxes, and that which you grow, your short-term and long-term savings and investments. And we find principles and passages in God's Word, big themes and ideas in Scripture that really tell us how we should approach each of these, starting with our heart, really our identity rooted in Christ, recognizing that money can compete with God for His rightful place in first position. It can choke out the Word, according to the parable of the sower. It can choke out the Word from bearing a 30, 60, 100-fold return if we allow it to. But here's the reality. When we understand that God owns it all and that we're stewards and money's a tool, not an end, but a means to an end, and that we can break the grip of money over our lives by giving and being generous, living with contentment and finding freedom and joy and blessing others and using it to build relationships and memories with our families, but holding it loosely and really keeping our eyes fixed on the eternal, that which is to come. Because remember, we're just brief sojourners in this world. We don't want to get too entrenched in the here and now, the temporal. We want to focus on the eternal. Well, money can be a tool that allows us to do that. And my experience is that your financial journey is one of the key ways God shapes your spiritual journey. It has a ripple effect when you surrender your entire life to Christ, including His money that you're managing. It has a ripple effect through every other area and will ultimately draw you into a more intimate relationship with Him. That's our goal here on this program, to encourage and support you as we direct you back to Scripture to live with a biblical worldview in every area of your life, and that certainly includes this area of money management. So how can we help you do that today? What are you thinking about financially? We've got some lines open and we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's right. Pat is standing by today to take your call at 800-525-7000. Hey, let me share something that I think will be an encouragement to you today. You know, Psalm 20 is one of my favorites. It begins with a blessing and ends with a statement of faith. Here's part of Psalm 20, starting at verse 6. "Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to His anointed. He answers him from His heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm." Some trust in chariots and some in horses. You know, back in David's day, chariots and horses were the most powerful military technologies available. If you had those, you could usually expect victory. But the psalm says there's something even more powerful out there, the name of God. In spite of that, people were still putting their faith in worldly things like chariots and horses. You know, anything you put your faith in other than the Lord our God is a false god. The late Larry Burkett, who was the former host of this program, Larry went home to be with the Lord in 2003, he used to say a false god is anything that detours our commitment to God. You probably won't be trusting chariots and horses today, but here are a few of the false gods that you will recognize, along with some modern twists on Psalm 20. Listen to this. And by the way, we'll be headed to the phones here in just a moment. If you've got a question, this is a great time to get your call in the queue, 800-525-7000. Listen to these false gods you'll recognize. Financial security is a false god. Some trust in retirement plans, savings accounts, and investment income. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. Government provision can be another false god. Some trust in welfare programs, federal relief checks, or government handouts. Power is worshipped as a false god. Some trust in status, reputation, and financial influence. Personal autonomy is a very deceptive false god. Some trust in themselves alone, depending on their own financial goals and expertise, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. You see, the consequences of trusting in false gods are severe. God is not mocked. The Bible says, and he tells his people over and over, not to worship any other gods. The bad result of putting your faith in false gods is found in Psalm 20, verse 8, which I quoted earlier. They are brought to their knees and fall. On the other hand, those who trust in the Lord our God will rise up and stand firm. So let me encourage you, whatever you face today, whatever decisions you have to make, whatever changes or challenges come your way, don't make the mistake of turning to false gods to help you. You see, when you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a much greater resource, as Psalm 20 says, the name of the Lord your God. So I hope that's an encouragement to you today as we take you back to Scripture and remind you of the power of the name of Jesus. We don't want to pursue the world's alternatives. They will leave us empty every time. All right, back to the phones we go. Again, a few lines open, 800-525-7000 to Texas. Hi, Kayla. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Okay, I am ready to get out of debt, and I've been working on it for many years. Seems like I take 10 steps forward, 10 steps back constantly.
Yeah, I understand.
And I only owe about $40,000 on my house. I have $8,000 cash, and I have two car notes, and that's pretty much, I've got a couple of other little small debts that are almost paid off. The two car notes I want to get rid of because they're driving me absolutely bonkers. I just had to put a new starter in one of them, and I owe $10,000 on that car. I only owe about $1,000 on the other one. I think I kind of know what I need to do, but probably just need an expert's advice. Should I take that $8,000 and knock out these car notes? And then all I will have is just my house note and then the other little tiny debts that I'm working at chipping away at very quickly.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't want you to deplete all of your emergency savings because I want you to break this cycle. And I realize you don't have any other debt right now other than the cars and the house. Mm-hmm. But I want you to have something available if the unexpected comes, and it always does. So at the most I'd want you to do is knock out the one at $1,000 and hang on to the $7,000, and then you could take that monthly payment that you'd free up and start directing it into additional savings or accelerating the payoff on the $10,000. I know you want to get rid of it sooner rather than later, but I don't want your emergency fund depleted. Hang on the line, Kayla. I've got to take a quick break, but we'll talk a little bit more off the air. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
What do normal human beings want for a 6-year-old?
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
To be loved, to be protected, to be shielded from some of the ugliness in the world. But you got these nutcases who want to push on a 6-year-old that you are inherently evil because of the color of your skin.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
When we follow Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. We focus less on ourselves and more on God's kingdom. In Michael Blue's book, Free to Follow, we're reminded to surrender everything to Jesus and follow Him. Free to Follow explores what the Bible says about money and possessions and challenges you to rethink the way you view and use them. Request a copy of Free to Follow with your gift of any amount to faithfi.com/follow.
Hi, this is Todd Nettleton with the Voice of the Martyrs Radio, inviting you to the Hearts of Fire virtual event on July 14th. This is a one-of-a-kind virtual event that highlights stories from persecuted Christians around the world. This event will benefit the global body of Christ and inspire you in your own walk of faith. Hear from four persecuted Christians, plus join in worship along with Michael W. Smith. To register as an individual or host this event at your church, visit heartsevent.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance Live. I'm Rob West. Taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Mortgage interest rates continuing to tick down, not significantly, but at least they're headed in the right direction. The average 30-year interest rate on a loan below jumbo, which, by the way, today is $726,000, is down to 6.73%, so under 6.75%. I realize for those of you sitting on a 2 or 3% mortgage, you're still thinking, wow, that's a lot. And it is, making the cost of home ownership significantly higher. However, they are continuing to tick down. By the way, if you're looking for a mortgage and you're out shopping for a new home, you really don't have an option to wait out these high interest rates, and you want a partner, a mortgage partner who shares your values and available in all 50 states, we'd love for you to check out our friends at Movement Mortgage. You can find more at movement.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith. All right, let's head back to the phones today. 800-525-7000 to Mississippi. Hi, Elizabeth. Go right ahead.
Good morning.
Hi. How can I help?
I need to ask.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is, I would like to know what your thinking is on setting up a living trust for my husband. I think you know our ages. I think I gave that information to the lady.
I see that in my notes here. Yeah, 79 and 75. What is it you're trying to accomplish? I mean, I'm happy to weigh in on this, but just give me a little thought from you on why you're considering a living or a revocable trust.
We just thought about it over the years and never could come to any, conclusion on it. I have no heirs, and I think we've been through this process one time many years ago. We never set it up just because it was too convoluted, I thought. My understanding is, of course, we handle our own business within the trust as long as we're able. And then we were going to have to name someone to handle it if we were not able. And yes. That was always the stopping point, and still is a stopping point 25 years later. So,
yes. Very good. Well, I mean, you can obviously pass your assets and property and personal items according to your wishes through a basic simple will. It will go through probate. It'll be a part of the public record. It'll you would name a personal representative or an executor that would handle the distribution of your estate working through the probate court. So there is some expense and some time involved in that. So often folks will use a living trust because they want to avoid probate. They want to avoid the cost associated with it. Even though it's more expensive to set up a living trust, it might run $1,500 or $2,000, whereas a simple will might be $300 or $500. But basically, it will hold the living trust, Elizabeth, and I may be telling you some things you already know, but essentially, it'll hold legal title to your assets, and then the living trust provides the mechanism to manage them. So you and your spouse are the trustee and the beneficiaries of your trust during your lifetime. But then you designate a successor trustee beyond your life or in the event of your incapacitation to carry out your instructions as you've provided in the trust document. And one of the benefits of the living trust is that it can go into effect in the event you or you and your spouse are incapacitated prior to death, and then the successor trustee could step in and manage anything that's held inside the trust according to the instructions in the trust, and at death and even beyond death based on, again, the instructions that are there. And so it gives you more control over your estate, but you would have to designate this successor trustee to carry out the trust's instructions. But I think if you're looking for either doing this out of the public record, if you're looking for a more efficient way, if you know you want this anonymous, if you want the ability to control these assets prior to or after death, you know, that's where a trust can really shine. But if that's not necessary, or you don't have a lot of real estate or things like that, then a simple will can typically, you know, be sufficient just to make sure that all that God has entrusted to you is efficiently passed to either a charity or heirs after your death.
Okay, that helps. That's kind of my thinking also, because like I said, I didn't care too much about the trust after years ago checking into it. So I just wanted somebody else's thoughts. And I appreciate your answer. Thank you.
Well, I'm delighted to do it. And if you have further questions, I think, you know, reaching out to a godly estate attorney, Elizabeth, could be a great next step for you just to talk through with specificity just all that God has entrusted to you, what's in your estate, and the best way to handle it. But at a very minimum, you need a will. You probably need a healthcare surrogate so that you've got somebody designated to make healthcare decisions if you're unable to. You need a durable power of attorney, which is allows somebody to make financial decisions in the event you're incapacitated. And then, you know, perhaps a living will as well, which is around end-of-life decisions. Those are probably the key estate planning documents that you need in place. Thanks for your call today. If we can help you further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. 800-525-7000 to Texas. Hi, Rebecca. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I lost quite a bit of money in the, you know, the decline over the last couple years.
Yeah.
I had 1.5, and my advisor, I know it was a lot out of his control, but I ended up losing about $700,000. So my question is how do you feel about self-managing, self-directing? Or should I maybe try a different advisor that's going to make the changes and moves that I've requested that they do?
Yeah. Well, I can understand why you're thinking about both options, just given what you just described. And I'm always hesitant to, you know, weigh in on these without knowing all of the details. But I will say, I mean, a portfolio that's down 50% or more is that shouldn't be the case, even given what's happened over the last couple of years. What were you invested in? Was it high growth stocks?
A variety. I was well diversified in stock, and I'm not exactly sure, but quite a bit of different things, different caps, and about 50% stock and 50% bond. Well, there was some cash in there too. And even the cash, I said, hey, I want you to build me some more cash. I'm retired. I want to make sure I've got a good cash in there, like $200,000 or $300,000. He didn't do it until, you know, I call him and say, hey, I don't see that you did. Oh, yeah, I'm buying and selling. And I've been with him for a long time. He's a nice guy, great guy. We have a relationship, and that's my problem. I've been thinking for a while, and we've done this before, and I've asked him to sell stock. I'm like, okay, I have a feeling this stock is going down. Could you sell it? And then I'll get the message. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's some challenges there, and I realize you have a personal relationship, and that complicates things, but it seems like a change is in order. Let's do this. If you don't mind, I've got to take a quick break, but I'd love to talk through where you go from here. So if you can hold the line, we'll pick this up right on the other side of the break. We'll be back with much more on Faith and Finance Live just around the corner. Stay with us.
This is Jenna Ellis with AFR, and we're sending Bibles to Asia. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
Jenna, it's a joy to let your listeners know our prayers are being answered. We pray the gospel would take grip all over the world. It's happening right now in Asia, the part of the world where Christianity is growing fastest in the world, but as many as 9 of 10 new believers have no access to the Bible. Credit that to this fast pace, but also corrupt governments and majority religions that hate Christianity. But listeners, you have been incredibly kind. You've blessed 12,000 Bible-less believers in Asia with their very own copy of God's Word. Our goal is 16,000. We're a little short, but we're praying for a strong finish by June 25th. Would you pray about it and then get involved today, Jenna?
$5 sends a Bible. That's only $5 for a Bible. $100 sends 20. $500 sends 100 Bibles. Give generously at 800-YES-WORD. That's 1-800-YES-WORD or visit sendbiblesnow.org. Sendbiblesnow.org.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Rebecca in Texas. Rebecca had a portfolio worth about $1.5 million down to about $700,000. And she's had some not only challenges with returns in this portfolio, but had mentioned before the break that although there's a personal relationship, and that's always difficult to manage between advisor and client, there's been perhaps just a lack of follow-up in some cases, maybe some urgency around the concerns and inquiries that she's made around this portfolio. And, you know, if we look at the returns of the market, Rebecca, I mean, even the S&P 500, although, you know, in 2022 it was down, you know, a good bit. I think in 2022 it was off about 20%. In 2021, it was up 27%, and so far year-to-date, up 14%. So, you know, we shouldn't see numbers anywhere near off 50%. And if you look at a, you know, total bond index, I mean, they've had a challenging year in 2022, but even that was only off 13% and basically flat for 21 and the years prior, for the 10 years before that, all positive returns. So this is a bit concerning. I'd want to, at the very least, know why this portfolio is down so much, why so much volatility, and you know, was there a high concentration in something that you know, just went south, or what is the reason behind it? But what gives me even just maybe equally as concerning is just the lack of follow through and you know, communication as you've been reaching out and wanting information and asking for things to be done and not really sensing much urgency. So I think given that, I would recommend a change. And I do think, despite your experience here over the last couple of years, having an advisor help you manage through this. And I wouldn't start selling things right away. I'd probably work through that process with an advisor before you decide to reposition the portfolio. But at least you'd have somebody who absolutely understands your values, first and foremost, can bring a biblical worldview. Second, really is going to communicate with you and engage with you at a level that you're comfortable with, and then thirdly, that you all have alignment around the investment strategy moving forward to help you recoup to the best of your ability without unnecessary risk these losses. So I think that probably is the next step for you. You know, you certainly could go meet face to face and express maybe one final time your concerns and see if there's anything that's shared that might change your mind. But I think just based on what I'm hearing, I think a change is in order.
I agree, and I thank you for reinforcing my feelings. And, yeah. You know, I don't like to be hasty, and I've given him opportunity, and I just feel like he's, you know, dropped the ball. He does have 100% control over my portfolio, and I've even thought about maybe going to a flat rate with him, because he's getting, 1% or somewhere close to that.
Yeah. Which isn't out of the ordinary. I mean, that would be normal and customary, but the lack of communication, given, you know, what he's been charged to do on top of just these abysmal returns is just really, I think, a cause for concern that, a change is in order. So if you have another option, that's great. If you don't, we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. So perhaps you could reach out to a few CKAs there in Texas. The way to do that is just to go to our website, faithfi.com, faithfi.com, and just click the button at the top of the page that says find a CKA. And you can do a zip code search, and I'd interview at least two or three of those folks just to find someone that you have a good rapport with, that you really, you know, have a what you believe could be a great, working relationship, has the, of course, the experience and the credibility that you're looking for, but you'll at least know that this person shares your worldview. They've met really high standards in character and competence and experience, and I think you could go forward from there.
One quick question.
Yeah.
Do I meet with the advisors first and see who I'm going to get along with and their philosophy and whatnot? But do I meet with them first before I transfer into their care? Do all the stocks and everything have to be sold and then repurchased?
So let me answer that. Number one, yes, I would meet with them first and make a decision. If you come to the conclusion, you find somebody that, yes, you want to do business with, I would establish that relationship first. And then, this is just my recommendation, before your current advisor receives the notification that the assets are being transferred out, I think just given your relationship, just as a courtesy, I would just call that advisor and say, listen, I've just decided to make a change. And that's not going to be an easy conversation. He'll likely try to talk you out of that. I think you just need to be firm in saying, listen, I appreciate what you've done. I don't feel like I was getting the service I wanted. I'm not happy with the results, and I've decided to move on, but I wish you all the best. And that way you've given notice, and then at that point, there would be transfer instructions sent. The assets would transfer over in their current form. And so unless there was some holding that couldn't be held by the new custodian, and that's very unlikely, nothing would be sold. It would come over exactly as it is today. And then you and that advisor could work through the strategy on selling any of those investments that need to be sold and transitioning into this new portfolio. But it doesn't have to be done prior to the transfer.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
All right, Rebecca. God bless you, and thanks for calling today. Let's talk to another Rebecca, actually, in Missouri. Go right ahead.
Yes, I kind of have a similar problem as she did.
Okay, how can I help?
A lot of this doesn't make any sense to me, but anyway, I called you about, it was last summer, and I was willing to transfer my investment assets from one firm to more of a biblically responsible firm. And so you directed me to, you know, getting a CKA, which I did. And he had a firm in Memphis. And so I went ahead and transferred everything there. Well, now they're saying that they are wanting to give their assets, or I don't let them handle their assets with another, a different company. It was from, I think it's from Securian to Cetera. But anyway, and I don't know, I looked that up, and it did look like they had really very good reviews, so I don't know what that means. But anyway, I don't know what to do now. I don't know whether to keep it there. I just want to make sure it's in a biblically responsible place. And
yes.
So what? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a great question, Rebecca, and I appreciate you following back up. You know, it's not uncommon for an advisor to move from one custodian or what you call broker dealer to another. They will make those changes periodically when they find that they can get, you know, a better platform for technology and trading and being able to serve their clients well. And so that's not uncommon. And your relationship really is with the advisor. He or she is the one that's serving you and providing the customer service, but also, and most importantly in this case, selecting the investments and building the portfolio. And whether that's at Centurion or Cetera or another one, it really doesn't matter as long as they have access to the investments that meet your goals and objectives without taking unnecessary risk. And in your case, and I love this, also being able to bring investments that align with your values as a believer. And so as long as this advisor does offer faith-based investing, not all CKAs do. And as I had mentioned previously, we're updating the CKA search so you'll actually in the future be able to say, I only want to see CKAs that offer faith-based investments. But as long as, you know, he or she has made clear that, yes, they can do a faith-based investing strategy by using either separate account managers that do screening or, you know, world-class mutual funds like Timothy Plan or Eventide or One Ascent or the others, then it really doesn't matter which brokerage firm or broker-dealer or custodian they're with. It's really about your relationship with the advisor and whether that's working for you.
Okay. All right. Well, that answers a lot of questions then.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Has it been going well in terms of the portfolio and the investments? Do you feel like they're meeting your needs?
Yes.
Good. Yes. Glad to hear it. And you do believe, you've talked about a faith-based investing, and that's the types of investments that they've selected for you?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Well, I would imagine.
You know, that's what I was worried about. You know,
yeah. I mean, if this is a core part of the advisor's offering, then, you know, they really, I can't ever imagine a situation where they'd move to a new custodian or broker dealer where they couldn't continue to offer these investments. In fact, if they're making a change, it's probably because they have an even greater ability to offer you these types of investments moving forward. So sounds like you're in great shape here, Rebecca, but I do appreciate you calling back into the program today. Yeah. It's been a delight to talk to you. May the Lord bless you. Take care. All right, folks. Well, we are about out of time. We're going to wrap it up today. But let me just say how much I appreciate so much you joining us on the broadcast each day, being a part of what we're doing here at Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Just a couple of quick reminders as we head toward our fiscal year end here, June the 30th, we could sure use your help and support. Faith and Finance is listener supported, which means we do what we do only because of your generous support. So if you've found some value in the broadcast, you enjoy the encouragement and biblical advice, we'd invite you to be a financial supporter of the ministry at faithfi.com. Just click give. And now, until June the 30th, those gifts go a long way to helping us close our gap between now and year end. About $40,000 we're looking to close that gap on over the next 9 days. And so a gift of any amount would certainly be appreciated. Just head to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click give. By the way, while you're there, check out the FaithFi app. More than 50,000 Christians engaging there to share ideas, learn, grow, jump into our FaithFi community, and even set up their spending plans. You can learn more. It's all at faithfi.com. Hey, let me say thanks to my team today, Adam Suddeth, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Glad to have you along with us today. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll be here to do it all over again. May God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.